A town on French Island is suing the city of La Crosse and chemical companies over PFAS contamination. It's Monday, November 6th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Door County and the cities of Green Bay, Janesville, and Milwaukee are all getting federal pandemic relief funds. Plus, a center dedicated to helping people who are leaving prison transition back into society could be coming to Wisconsin. Sarah Lear will have more. Stay with us.
Being up to date on the news matters to you. That's where Wisconsin Today comes in. These 10 minutes of the biggest stories from around the state, they're possible thanks to community support. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Residents in the town of Campbell have filed four class action lawsuits against the city of La Crosse and chemical companies for PFAS contamination of private wells. The town on French Island is located just across the Black River from La Crosse. Danielle Kading has more.
Residents are suing around two dozen chemical companies in federal court. They say companies knowingly made or sold toxic firefighting foam that contaminated more than 500 private wells in the town. Residents also sued the city of La Crosse and its insurers in La Crosse County Circuit Court. They say the use of foam containing PFAS at the La Crosse Regional Airport seeped into groundwater and polluted wells over the span of five decades. Residents are seeking compensation for property damages. They also want the companies and the city to cover the costs of a medical monitoring program to detect health problems early on that may stem from the chemicals. PFAS have been linked to certain cancers, thyroid disease, and fertility issues. La Crosse officials and residents' attorneys didn't respond to requests for comment. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Five different building projects across the state are getting millions of dollars in federal pandemic relief funds. Governor Tony Evers announced last week that he's allocating more than $36 million for the projects, including $15 million for a new sports and convention center in Janesville. City Manager Kevin Lehner says the project will attract more people to the region when it's complete.
So it's going to attract folks from throughout the area, including from Illinois and Iowa and other places to come to Janesville and to experience our community.
The refunds will go to an expansion for the Green Bay National Railroad Museum, upgrades to the Door County Peninsula Players Theater, a new art center in Milwaukee, and a new soccer stadium in Milwaukee as well. The money was originally in the governor's budget, but state lawmakers rejected funding for the projects. A Republican bill would ban the use of a merchant code for gun sales in Wisconsin. Robert DeAndrea has more on the code that credit card companies have already paused using.
Merchant category codes categorize businesses based on the type of goods or services they provide. Most stores that sell guns are categorized as general retailers or sporting goods. Gun control advocates have long sought a code that would make it easier to track gun purchases. The international body that creates the codes made one for guns last year, but credit card companies paused implementing it after several Republican-led states moved to ban it from being used. Annalisa Dickman works for the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. She supports the use of the code.
The gun industry is not exempt from the rules of global commerce. Financial institutions must be allowed to treat firearm dealers like every other retailer.
Supporters of the bill say the code would be an infringement on privacy and Second Amendment rights. Robert DeAndrea, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bipartisan bill advancing in Wisconsin would create a reentry center meant to ease transitions for people leaving prison. Senators heard testimony last week on the proposal. It was recommended by a study committee that looked at work opportunities for incarcerated people. The bill directs Wisconsin's Department of Corrections to contract with a nonprofit or other organization to run the center. Democratic Representative Evan Goyke says the goal is offering resources all under one roof. That includes helping people get housing, health care, and driver's licenses.
It's all siloed and fragmented, and it makes it much more difficult for somebody with limited means or limited stability to access those very disjointed services.
Wisconsin's current budget includes $4 million for the facility, which officials hope to locate in Milwaukee County. Fencing is going up on both sides of the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee. Margaret Faust reports that's because of safety concerns.
The two-mile-long bridge spans the Milwaukee River at Lake Michigan. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says the fence is going up to prevent debris like trash and snow from falling on the people below. There have also been concerns about suicides, as data shows more than 40 people have jumped from the bridge since 2003. Sarah Kolbeck is the director of the Division of Suicide Prevention at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She says the fence could go a long way towards prevention.
Oftentimes that provides that person a few moments to reconsider. It often also can, provide time for that person perhaps to reach out for help.
The fencing is expected to be up by mid-December. Margaret Faust, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks to the work of lawmakers at the federal level, there are now options for homeowners to access clean energy improvements in their own homes. Coming up, we'll be chatting with Natalie Yar from the Cap Times about how we can take advantage of this, especially as we get ready to turn the thermostats on and head into winter. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Things are getting cold in Wisconsin once again, and it's time to start thinking about winterizing the house and making sure as much heat stays inside as possible. But this year, thanks to some legislation at the federal level, there are options for folks to get some money back for making these energy improvements. Natalie Yar at the Cap Times wrote about these new options, and she joins us now to discuss. Can you give us just kind of a broad generalization? What are some of the options that are available for both tax credits and rebates?
Yeah, so under the Inflation Reduction Act, which passed last year, folks might have heard about it in the news, there are all sorts of tax credits and rebates that can help people pay for energy efficient upgrades to their homes or renewable energy upgrades to their homes. That can be things like for weatherizing the home, sealing up places where air can leak in, insulating more, replacing home appliances with more energy efficient ones, maybe swapping a gas heater for a heat pump heater, or things like getting solar panels for their rooftops. And then there are rebates that can help with some of those same things, but that mean you don't even have to necessarily put up the money up front. They can help make the cost lower right from the start rather than waiting for a tax credit later.
A lot of people kind of wonder where is a good place to start when it comes to this. And that's something that you addressed in your piece right off the bat, saying that, you know, an energy audit is kind of a really good place for most people to start. What is that, and why is that some place that people should start off from?
Yeah, I think this is not intuitive to most of us who haven't given a lot of thought to this before, who aren't expert on these things. It can feel really overwhelming. And I didn't know until I started doing this reporting about these home energy audits. This is basically a way you get a professional, sometimes it's somebody who has an insulation company, sometimes it's just an independent professional who just does home energy audits, to come to your home. They have all these specialized tools that they use, like these big powerful fans that they attach to your front door to check where air is escaping from your home. They can basically figure out where your home's losing energy, wasting energy, and help you figure out what would be the most kind of bang for your buck upgrades that you could do. Sometimes it's things just like sealing your home up better, insulating it more, but they'll help you know. And those audits, there are several local companies that do them, and they can cost as little as a few $100s, though you can pay more for a really much more extensive kind of home energy audit. And the Environmental Protection Agency estimates that things like air sealing and insulating, which these audits can help you figure out where you might need that kind of work, those things could cut the average home's energy use by about 11%. So that's often one of the next steps that you might want to do.
So let's say someone goes out and gets one of these audits done. They say, these are the things you need to do to make your home more energy efficient. Through the Inflation Reduction Act, like you mentioned at the beginning, there are two ways that people can kind of get benefits, the tax credits and the rebates. What are these rebates and how do those work?
The rebates are really a different ballgame, and they're really designed to help low and moderate income Americans pay a lower price from the start for these upgrades by reducing the price that they pay when they go buy that new energy efficient appliance or when they hire their contractor so that they don't have to front that money and then wait to get it paid back later. And so these are, to me, it was a little bit surprising how big some of these rebates might be and who all might qualify. It's all based on families' income, but some families won't pay anything at all for certain upgrades. So it's really designed to make these things accessible. But it also, there's red tape and it can be a little complicated, and you really want to make sure you know what is eligible and what isn't eligible. For example, there's lots of money in these credits and rebates for heat pumps, which are an energy efficient way to heat or cool your home. However, not all heat pumps will qualify for a rebate or for a tax credit. And you have to know kind of how efficient that appliance needs to be. And even things like that here in Wisconsin, those, I believe that for some of the incentives, it only qualifies if it's like specifically qualified as a cold climate heat pump. And so that's just, it's a level of detail that most of us don't know, but it's the sort of thing you'd want to know before you go making one of these bigger investments.
A lot of different ways that folks can get some money back for trying to make their homes more energy efficient. Natalie Yar with the Cap Times wrote about it and helping us understand it here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And that'll do it. One quick note before we let you go. The Packers beat the Rams 20-3 yesterday. Green Bay is now 3-5 on the year. They're going to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers next Sunday at noon. And that'll finally do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, we'll be right back here in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.